Are in Revelation chapter 22, verse 20, but we're right in the middle of the doctrine, well, we're right near the end of the doctrine of rewards. So if you've got your book on Christian doctrines, go to page 580, and we've got 580 and 581 to do. We left off last time with the special manna, which is point H, and the special manna, of course, I'm reading from the fourth edition. It might say in your third edition a different header there, but it's special manna. I did reorder these things a little bit as well. So the special manna, the winner believer will be given a white stone with a new name written on the stone and obtain special advanced Bible doctrine knowledge called the hidden manna. And that's Revelation chapter 2, verse 17, which says, "He who has an ear," in other words, pay attention, "let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes," and we noted that time, that term is used throughout Revelation, and the word is to carry off the victory, nikao, and that's the winner believer, because it is a battle, and when you have a battle and you win, it's a victory. And the battle here, of course, you have a two-front war. One, as we studied the last hour, the battle is between the control of your soul, between the old sin nature and God the Holy Spirit. So you're fighting that battle, and you're the gatekeeper. You decide who wins. And the second battle, once you reach a certain level of spiritual maturity, you're entered into the battle, the high levels of the angelic conflict, because it's true, every believer is in the angelic conflict, because you're a basic witness in the angelic conflict. Just by believing, you're entered into the trial as an exhibit. But you want to be a subject matter expert witness exhibit, not a basic exhibit. So you start out as a basic exhibit, all of us do, but as we mature and grow up this line to maturity, we have the opportunity to be a special subject matter expert witness exhibit at the angelic conflict. And that's only for mature believers at the top of the game, and they will be entered into that. And when you get entered into that, then you're in the second front, and that is the angelic conflict, where Satan will have an opportunity to cross-examine you as to whether or not you are a true subject matter expert witness or a phony baloney one. But the judge, God, of course, will enter you into that process, and you will pass these tests, and you will receive special rewards, as we indicated last time, about the crowns, the crown of righteousness, the crown of life. You can be qualified for the crown of life, and you will receive the crown of life. Now, every mature believer will get the crown of righteousness, but not every mature believer is going to get the crown of life. It's a higher award. So you want to have both crowns. Again, the crown of, you can look this up, the crown of righteousness is for the mature believer that gets to that point. Somewhere along this line, you reach the level of maturity and you receive the crown of righteousness. If you go on to the very top, you can get the crown of life. And that means you are qualified as a subject matter expert witness exhibit. You're entered into the trial and Satan will cross-examine you. And you'll pass a cross-examination. If you get to that level, you're going to pass a cross-examination, whatever it is, and you will receive the crown of life. And so these people, these mature believers, will have this hidden manna, which I just call special manna. We call it hidden manna. So you have an ear, overcome, you're going to carry off the victory. To him, I will give some of the hidden manna. Now, the word some is not in the original. It's an ellipsis. So it's correctly translated to him, I will give of the hidden manna. So who is a special person? This is one who overcomes, who carries off the victory. And I will give him a white stone and a new name written on the stone, which no one knows but he who receives it. So these are other things you can have, we noted before. The white stone indicates back to Greek. Again, you got to look at the Bible in the context of what was written in the Greek democracy. You would have, when they voted on something, you had the whole population that was saved. Slaves couldn't vote. A lot of slaves in the Greek system. And so when people talk about, well, the Greeks had a true democracy, yeah, if you're a citizen, you get to vote. A lot of slaves, they didn't get to vote. So the citizens will get to vote, and if you vote on something, you have a white stone or a black stone. And they have secret ballots that way, and you put the stone out. So the white stone, of course, indicates a something that's language of accommodation, so we can understand. You're in the citizen. You have a special privilege to vote. Not everybody gets to vote, but you do. And your new name written on the stone, which no one knows but he who receives it. We noted about that last time, because the new name indicates that you have achieved this victory. And we noted that For example, the Lakota Nation, when you're born, you have a certain name. If you achieve something great within the tribe, they give you a new name. But if you don't achieve anything great, you're not going to get a new name. But you have the opportunity to get a new name. Crazy Horse wasn't born with the name Crazy Horse. He had to do something to get that new name. And so some of these names are quite interesting, but that's the concept. You have a new name because you've done something above and beyond. And then we have point 16, which rewards glorify God. God is glorified by giving the believer his escrow account rewards. And we want to add in there, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. We studied this already, John 15:1-8, about the tree that bears fruit. And God will prune the tree, which is divine discipline to get you oriented as you move through this life so you can move forward. As a father disciplines a son, so the Lord will discipline you. This is called suffering for blessing. The purpose is to move you forward. And of course, if you get divine discipline for suffering, well, that's discipline too. When you don't rebound, you stop going to Bible class. Well, for this cause, many among you, remember the three tiers of divine discipline? That's there. We're all there. So when God provides discipline for suffering, the goal is not to punish you. The goal is to get you oriented back to the plan of God. So God is glorified when you receive your rewards. You want to glorify God? Seek these rewards. Right here again, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit. You bear much fruit. Production. A lot of believers bear no fruit. They're born again believers. Seed goes in the ground. Little thing props up. We studied this before. Some of them are carried off by prosperity. Prosperity gets them off the railroad track, and they bear no fruit. Some of them are choked out by the weeds. Their little plant comes up choked out by the weeds. What's that mean? Adversity of life gets to them, and therefore they just stop. And those two type of plants, they bear no fruit. But a few will go into the good soil. The good soil is positive volition. And therefore, these people that have positive volition, they persevere. Remember, fruit doesn't just pop up in 30 seconds. It takes a while. And the best time to plant a tree is 10 years ago and today. The best time to get busy with Bible doctrine, 10 years ago and today. I wish I would have planted that tree 10 years ago. It would be so nice to have that tree blocking my neighbor's ugly solar panels they just put on their house. Well, you didn't do it. And they are ugly, by the way. That's just my own opinion. But in any event, your tree is like your spiritual life. There's no magical download. It's got to be watered. You got to have sunny days. You got to have cloudy days. And you will have sunny days and cloudy days. But you keep growing. You tend to it. You get the weeds out. It's you that do it. You're the one that gardens your tree. And so the tree will grow. But fruit can't just grow automatically. You got to have a strong base, and then the water is the word that comes up out of the soil. A lot of analogies. But at some point, fruit will start to grow on your branches. And remember that parable also, it says that God prunes the branches. I'm not a farmer or anything, but I do know enough about tomato plants. You get these suckers going on the vine. You want to cut those off because they suck out energy for the little part that is producing the tomato. So if you had a lot of these suckers on the vine, your tomatoes won't get as big. So you cut them off, and the tomato gets big. Same with you and me. God will prune you, and that's called divine discipline for suffering or divine discipline for blessing, one or the other. But the goal is so you can get a nice big red tomato to prune you. And so better to prune yourself. Because you have to prune yourself. You've got to, again, you've got to say, well, I'm going to devote time to Bible doctrine. So it's not God that does the pruning. You do the pruning. But God will do the pruning if he has to. But it's nice if you do your own pruning. And you can do your own pruning. But pruning you must do. That means pay attention, persevere, endure, all these words that are repeated over and over and over in the New Testament. To him who overcomes, to overcome the victory. That's you. You overcame. You carried off the victory. So God is glorified in that you bear much fruit. He wants you to have these rewards. He wants you to produce the fruit, 30, 60, 100-fold, whatever it is. But there are variations as we study. Why are there variations? Well, because of you. You just don't want it. If you don't get a maximum amount of fruit on your fruit tree, it's because of you. You just didn't want it. Not because of God. God provides everything that you need to get there. And then he says, and so prove to be my disciples. Everybody, oh, I'm a disciple of Jesus. Prove it. I love Jesus. Prove it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Remember that, what Jesus said? If, third class condition. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. If you love me, well, prove it. Keep my commandments. What are my commandments? My commandments are not burdensome. What's Bible doctrine? Bible doctrine is the mind of Christ. And when he speaks, it's Bible doctrine. Bible doctrine is Christ. It's the Word of God. It's God breathed. It's God the Holy Spirit. All three members of the Trinity are Bible doctrine. Now, we don't have all the Bible doctrine because obviously there's hidden manna. There's more Bible doctrine you can get on the other side. But everything you can get now, you can get now. That's all in the Word of God. There's nothing inscrutable about the Word of God. I have heard people from time to time say, well, we just can't understand this passage, brother. We'll figure it out on the other side. No, you can understand it. Why would God give you a passage you can't understand? He doesn't. Everything's here understandable. You obviously are not in the proper church. That's why you can't understand it. So yes, it's all understandable. And that's how you prove to be my disciples. And you've done this many times. You say you're my best friend, prove it. You say that this is a prove it. Show me by your actions. Actions speak louder than words. Anybody can say, I love Jesus. In fact, we have this movement now in this country where large groups of young people, and it's kind of sad to watch. They come out by the thousands. They sit around hooping and hollering, waving their hands, singing songs, playing guitars, I love Jesus, crying, very emotional. They don't even know what rebound is. All that's wasted time. Because whatever worshiping you're doing, and it's okay to do these things, to worship God and song and stuff like that, but they're out of fellowship. They don't know enough Bible doctrine to come in or out of the rain. And then some of these folks, they sit around for like 2 days straight. They think they're getting a special blessing because they're out there worshiping the Lord. He who worships me must worship me in spirit and in truth. Aletheia, truth. And remember what Jesus said? I am the truth. Well, there you go. You've got to know God. You cannot love what you do not know. So you want to prove it? Prove it. And as Peter said, be always ready to answer anyone that has a question about the hope that's in you. And that's hope is Bible doctrine. Hope one, hope two, hope three. That's a whole bunch of Bible doctrine that's circulating through your veins and the brain. So that's how you prove to be by disciples. So don't go this, ah, shucks, I really don't want the rewards. Well, God wants you to have these rewards because that's how you're glorified. I know aw shucks about it. As we indicated, we're all going to get some level of rewards. I guarantee you, on the authority of the Word of God, you're already going to get rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. So if you want to say aw shucks, that's fine. I'll just tell you, you are. Flat up, if you've been to this church for any length of time, you know something. And you have metabolized that doctrine. It's there. And you've advanced yourself far beyond your fellow brethren out there across this planet. Because the vast majority of believers, they don't know straight up from straight down. And they are entrapped in the cosmic system. Born-again believers are trapped in the cosmic system. And they substitute emotion for Bible doctrine. And fellowship, which they have no idea what that means, for Bible doctrine. They're not serious students of the Word of God. And you can quiz them about basics they don't know. They just know, well, I don't have time for that. I'm too busy worshiping the Lord. Doing these, this, and that, and the other thing. No. You're actually worshiping Satan, His Majesty the Devil, as Peter did when he said, oh, Lord, that'll never happen to you. Very emotional, very good, all good stuff. You're 100% wrong. 100% wrong. And Peter, you had heard this doctrine from me, Jesus speaking, many times, that I've got to go suffer in Jerusalem for the sins of the world. They just rejected it. They heard it. Academic gnosis, and believe it. They didn't want it. Why didn't they believe it? They don't want it. And so we have that here. Rewards glorify God. Therefore, the winner believer learns doctrine as ordered. You are ordered to grow up. You're ordered to bear fruit. And that's it. So 2 Corinthians 10:5, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. There's the battle, folks. These are the warriors. These are the special forces. You are Delta Force. You're a Green Beret. I note that the Navy SEALs didn't get credit for the capture of Noriega. Usually the Navy SEALs steal all the credit. This time it was the Army that went in. The Delta Force is drawn from the best of the best of the Green Berets. They're the ones that actually hit the ground with some CIA operatives that we know of right now. But that's you. So in this battle, what are you doing in the battle? What's the enemy have? They have these speculations. Well, I speculate this is that. No, the Bible is very dogmatic. You don't have to speculate about anything. Eternal security, boom. There's no speculation about it. Resurrection body, boom. No speculation. Rebound, boom. No speculation. You're destroying speculations. And you know these people, well, it could be this and it could be that. And what do you think this passage means, Johnny? And what about you, Janie? Let's hear your voice too, because your voice needs to be heard. We'll all sit around the table and think about what we think about. It's worthless. Can't think. You're not qualified to punch your way out of a wet paper sack. You're destroying speculations and every lofty thing. The lofty things. Who's against loving your fellow man? Who's against that God's the Father of all? That's a lofty thing. We're against it. Not true. Who's against the brotherhood of man? We're against it. Not true. But see, these are lofty things. If you don't have Bible doctrine, yeah, sounds good to me. We're all brothers. I love you. They mean personal love, not impersonal love. It's all a bunch of nonsense. But they're trapped because you shall know the truth. And what will the truth do for you? You know that passage. It will set you free from the speculations, from the lofty things, from the cosmic system, because Satan's a super genius. If you don't have Bible doctrine, you cannot escape his web. Impossible. So we destroy speculations, and you destroy these in battle. And every lofty thing raised up against, remember, it's against the knowledge of God. It's against Bible doctrine. We destroy these things, as Jesus did. Remember the three great, he was tempted more than three things in his 40 days. We just have the big three listed in the Bible. One of the Gospels has it chronologically. The other one has it logically listed. So if you say, oh, they're not the same. They're not in chronological order. Yes, you're a genius. Some's in logical order and some's in chronological order. They're same temptations. And these all sound good. You know, feed everybody. If you are the Son of God, and I know you are. See, that's a first-class condition. He was flattering Jesus. You are the Son of God. Turn all these stones into bread. That's a lofty thing. Who's against that? We are. We don't want that. Satan is stealing your time. Now, could Jesus have done it? Boom. Just like that. Of course he could do it. But he responded with the knowledge of God. That's how he destroyed those lofty speculations and every lofty thing. He responded with the knowledge of God. Man shall not live by bread alone. Yeah, you got to eat. But by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. If you're a serious student of the Word of God, that's your life, is spiritual food. I've heard these knuckleheads that are so involved in basketball. Oh, that's my life. You're an idiot. You're a fool. And if they have the money, they fly to every basketball game they can go to. Who the hell cares with some idiot bouncing a ball, running down the court, and putting in the hoop? Really? Satan has stolen your time. He's destroyed your mind. That's your life. If your life's not Bible doctrine, you are a moron if you're a believer. You're an absolutely, I don't want to say too many bad words, but just put in your own magic bad words in there. Oh, yeah. You cuss like a mule skinner, and that's basically what you are. So you destroy these speculations, every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and Satan raises all these things up to the knowledge of God. He can quote scripture. He misquotes it. He perverts it. He twists it, as most churches do. In my opinion, most churches do this, and I've been to a lot of churches, and very few. The vast majority, like, oh my golly, that's all I say to myself, and I quietly leave. Or they quietly throw me out. Because, as I've said, I've been invited to many churches, and they never invite me back twice, ever. I don't like it. It goes against their speculations and lofty things, and brother and sister and all this other nonsense. Okay, it's against the knowledge of God, and we are, that's an ellipsis, and that's, you could add that in the sentence, that's okay, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Yeah, there's a lot of thoughts pinging around in your brain and my brain. You throw out the bad ones, and you take in the good ones in obedience to Christ. So your thinking must be conformed to the thinking of Christ. Remember what Paul said? We are sweating you out, little children, until Christ is formed in you. When it says sweating you out, what does that mean? Well, they're putting out Bible doctrine. It's not an easy thing to be a pastor teacher. You've got to put a lot of time, effort, and you know, stuff into it to put it out. Because you can't eat unless there's food. And someone's got to put the food out. But again, it's not that hard. I say it's hard, it's not that hard. It's hard and not that hard. It's not that hard. If you love the Word of God, nothing's hard. On your point of perspective or my point of perspective. But this is the great battle. We just go in with a big sword and we're just destroying these things because we have the weapons. Ephesians chapter 6, the last part of the chapter. You can't destroy these things without weapons. When Walt Disney was alive, we had good cartoons. They'd come in, the prince would come in with a sword and go through the big thorns and he'd just tearing them apart. But if you don't got the sword, you ain't tearing anything apart. But those are the good old days. Maybe they'll be back. So you're destroying speculations, every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. Because that's the battle. Either you have the knowledge of God or you don't. And as I've said many times in this church, either I'm wrong or they're wrong. I got that. A lot of people tell me I'm wrong. Okay, well, that's your opinion. You might be right, you might be wrong. You decide. You decide who's right and who's wrong. That's volition. And therefore, we have the next page. We have another verse here, two more verses. Philippians 2:16, holding fast the word of life. This is your life. My life is basketball. My life. No, that's not your life. This is your life. Hold fast to it. Do not throw in the garbage can your Bible doctrine. This is a warning to reversionism. Holding fast the word of life. This is your very life. So that in the day of Christ, that's the rapture, this is Paul speaking, will have a reason to glory. And that's rewards. Rewards glorify God. Because I did not run in vain. And that word is kenos, which means devoid of truth. Nor toil in vain. Where is he running? Where is he toiling? Well, he put a lot of time and effort into his missionary journeys. And he paid a physical price that was pretty spectacular. I mean, beaten by the Romans with a whip. Beaten by the Jews on several occasions on both judgments, shipwrecked, starved, all sorts of stuff. He paid a heavy price. And yet he said, of course, I don't want to run in vain. I want some production because that's how God is glorified. Paul, of course, indicated that he was up to the point of tears when he saw people that reject Bible doctrine. Remember? To the point of tears, I cry that these people are rejecting Bible doctrine. His desire was that everybody would respond to the gospel. And of course, he had a particular desire for the Jewish race. That's what got him in trouble, where he disobeyed God's commandment in 58 AD. Because I'm going to go make these Jews believe this stuff. I'm going to make these Jewish believers get right. And he was so off the railroad track, he went back into the temple to do a vow. The temple was verboten. There's no reason any believer would go back into the temple after the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when the church age started 10 days later after he ascended. No reason to go back to the temple. Temple's gone. That's another dispensation. But he went back in. The grace man Paul went back in. And he went all the way down. He almost died the sin unto death. But he came all the way back. He was pruned. And he produced the maximum amount of fruit. He was a subject matter expert witness in the angelic conflict. No question about it. But all of us can get off the railroad track. So he's just saying, look, I do this for a reason. So that God can be glorified and I can have a reason to see the results. Look up the doctrine of pastor teacher because your pastor teacher will be there with you at the judgment seat of Christ. We'll be right there. 2 Corinthians 4:16 to 17. Therefore, do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, so don't lose heart. In other words, this is written to people, believers, and it's just a fact of life. It says, though our outer man is decaying, that's your body, Your mortal body is decaying, and right in front of your eyes, you can wake up, oh, there's a new wrinkle there, there's a new thing here, new gray hair, or the hair fell out, or whatever it is, or my knees aren't working anymore, or this, that, and the other thing. Yes, it's decaying. It's rotting away right in front of you, just like a rotten piece of fruit in the fruit bowl. Looks good when you buy it at HEB. You said the bowl was nice. I'm going to watch it there. The avocado, well, that avocado is going to rot, and it's going to be very smelly at some point. Same with us. Wonderful. The human body is an amazing thing, but it's breaking down. Why? The old sin nature. It eats it up. Therefore, do not lose heart. In other words, the fact that your outer man is decaying, don't lose heart, because here's the good thing to remember. Yet our inner man, that's your spiritual growth. That thing's not dying off. It's getting bigger and better. Your body is getting worse and worse. And you can do a tuck here and a tuck there and delay things a little bit, and that's fine if you want to. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's a fact. You can only hold back that clock so long. But the inner man, that sucker is not decaying. It's growing. Yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Every day you have a new opportunity that God has given you to move up that ladder, to engage in this combat, to tear down the lofty speculations and all the speculations, the lofty ideas in the satanic cosmic system. You blow right through them. And that's what subject matter expert witnesses do. They testify, no, that's totally wrong. This is what's totally right. It's the knowledge of God. That's what a subject matter expert can do, because they know what they're talking about. And therefore, that's what you do. Your inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction, that's slipsis, which means design suffering for blessing. And it's light, which means light in weight. You're going to have affliction, because to get old is an affliction. Things break down. You got tinnitus, ears ringing all the time, or this, that, and the other thing. But it's not going to last forever. Remember, God can only glorify himself through you in suffering in this very short window called old age, because there's no more pain, no more suffering, nothing of that in eternity, which goes on for a long time. It's easy for people to glorify God when things are great. Can you do it when things are bad? That's the question. And your answer is, of course I can. But it hurts. Of course it hurts. If it didn't hurt, it wouldn't be a test. And a lot of tests are not just the physical sufferings, it's mental suffering. Sometimes mental sufferings can exceed physical sufferings. If you can't remember back, remember your first Dear John letter or Dear Jane. Oh, the world's over, my life's over, my blah, blah, blah. All mental suffering, I'm not going to eat for a day or whatever. Okay. Yeah, so mental suffering can be worse than physical suffering. So whatever category you're in, there it is. Loss of a loved one, mental suffering, of course. But see, you have the Bible doctrine to go through it. And then you just use the Bible doctrine. But really, in the big picture, is it really that much? No. It's light. And you might say, well, this don't feel light to me. It is light. Relative to eternity, it's not even a drop in the bucket. You can suck it up, soldier, for a couple more years and glorify God by doing so in the angelic conflict. Job did it. Oh, that's Job. I can't do that. Yeah, you can. You can exceed Job. If he did it, why can't you do it? Well, Job didn't have the pains that I had. Yeah, he did. Sores over every inch of his body. Try that on. Yeah. He did it. You can do it. You can do it. Absolutely. And so it says, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison with the suffering you have now. Far beyond. Oh my golly. I've got this drawn up here on the board. Let's just say, oh my golly, on eternal rewards. We don't know what it is. It's beyond your comprehension. So fixate on that, because your suffering will end. But do you really want it to end? No. Because your brain's still working. You're given the opportunity day by day to still be in the fight. You're still in the fight. And in the military, we have soldiers that get wounded, and you see some of these Medal of Honor winners, they don't want to go back. They want to go right into the fight. but dude, you're bleeding everywhere. So just put something on it. I'm going back into the fight. They're warriors. Are you a warrior? Are you going to run at the first little thing? You hear a lion roar. Ah, I remember Peter said, the roar of the lion. Satan's like a roaring lion. Well, a roar of a lion, you don't even have to have the lion claw you for you to give up. You just hear the roar, and that's enough to skedaddle. Same thing with Elijah. Elijah just did that wonderful miracle where the fire came down and he defeated all these priests of Baal. Well, all Jezebel had to do is send him a little letter. I'm coming for you. He broke. He has just shown magnificent application of Bible doctrine in his little thing with the priest of Baal. Magnificent. He broke and ran like a rabbit. And she didn't have to do anything. Just sent him a note. He should have said, to hell with you. Come get me. And by the way, bring help. And I hope you like hospital food. That's not what he did. Not at all. So we're just like these people. But see, think of these things. When you think of it in the big picture, and you keep the big picture, then you'll be okay. And you'll actually say, thank you, Father, for this pain, for this, that, for this, the other thing. You'll come to that point. It doesn't mean you're a nut. And you don't have to advertise it to the world. You'd say, thank you. You know I've got this pain. You've always known it. You've made provisions in eternity past for me to get through it. And what is the provision? Well, you know, because Paul wrote it down for us. He had the thorn in the side. Paul was a tough bird. He was tough. He never said that prayer, take it away, take it away, take it away, when he was beaten by the Romans, beaten by the Jews, shipwrecked, starved, stoned to death. He never said, take it away. He knew Bible doctrine, that God was allowing these things. But whatever that pain that hit him at that time, the thorn in the flesh, where God allowed a demon to attack him, he said, take it away. Three times he said, take it away. And he wanted to take it away. But then God gave him the answer. My grace, which is the plan, the purpose of God, is sufficient for you. I know what's happening. I'll take it away in my timing, not your timing. And then he realized, yes, you're right. And he bore up under that tremendous pain. So let's read it again. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory. That's your rewards, far beyond all comparison. Forget about it, as the Italians would say. Forget about it. And then we have point 17, the pastor-teacher present. The pastor-teacher will be present at the judgment seat of Christ to view the awarding of rewards and decoration for members of his congregation. Accordingly, the words of God are much more desirable than gold. In keeping them, there is great reward. Psalm 19, 10 to 11. For the believer in time and the believer in eternity. And then we have Colossians 1, 28. We, Paul and his pastor-teacher team, proclaim him, that's Jesus Christ, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom. These are believers. So that we may present every man complete in Christ. And that word present is paraistimi, to place beside or near at the judgment seat of Christ. So I'm going to be nudging you up there. There it is, right there, in Christ. You're complete. You made it to maturity. You did it. Now, it's not me that's doing it. It's you that did it. I just throw out the water of the word. You decide if you want to drink it or not. And a lot of people in this church, in my estimation, they took a sip, a couple of drinks, they're gone. They were like that, just like the parable. They sprouted up, gone. But a few, they ain't leaving. And so that's just the way it is. Hebrews 13, 17. Obey your leaders, and that's the pastor teacher, and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Now, I've got to give an account about the members of the congregation, according to this passage. And my account's going to be what? Well, I might roll my eyes when a couple people go up there and go this way or the other. The other way, I might rejoice greatly because we did it. Because I also will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And as Paul said, look, I got to be honest with you. In Philippians, I said, I've been putting out the accurate word like I'm supposed to, but there are members of the congregation that could exceed me in rewards. And I don't want that to happen. What does that mean? Well, the pastor teacher is a human too. The fact that I'm putting out the word of God doesn't mean that I apply it like I should. And that's up to God and me, just like your life's up to God and you. But that's what that means. And he says, let them do this with joy, chara, and not with grief. And that's stenazo, which means to sigh, to groan. Remember, to sigh and groan, this has a double application. But the loser believer will be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ. They won't be leaping for joy. And not with grief, for this would be unprofitable to you. This is written to the members of the congregation. Unprofitable to you. Yeah, you don't get your rewards. It's unprofitable. You had equal opportunity. You had every opportunity to get the reward, but you didn't get it. Why? Look up the doctrine of enemies. You did it to yourself. But it's not over yet. So if you're looking at yourself and say, yeah, I need to get hot. I need to get hot with Bible doctrine. Well, you're still alive. There's still time. But there will come a time when I get the notice in the obituary that you're dead. Time's out. Game over. God will not take you away out of this earth until his timing is perfect, the doctrine of death. So if as long as you want to reach these high levels, you will get there. Because God can't lie. So day by day, we're rotting away, but day by day, we got another opportunity to grow. Our inner man is growing, while the outer man is dying. The inner man is living. With our head bowed and eyes closed, Father, thank you for this wonderful doctrine of rewards that you have set out for us to understand. We know the bottom line is that we glorify you only in this way, by you bestowing on us these rewards that you have prepared for us in eternity past. Challenge us, therefore, to move forward to maturity so that we can truly glorify you and your plan, so that you can point to us and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.